feet and daylight unto my path. And a light unto, a light unto my path, my path.
Welcome to Searchlight, a survey through Scripture with Pastor John Corson. It is our desire to bring you a systematic study of the entire Bible, chapter by chapter, book by book. Here on Searchlight, we are looking at a study in contrast. It is a contrast between two kings, Saul, a king who was on his way down, and David, a king who was on his way up. On our last program, John showed us an interesting difference between the two. Saul was focused on the carnal and temporal, and this was pulling him down. And in his hand was a spear that he threw at David. David was spiritual and trusting in God and was simply ducking Saul's spear and not throwing them back. This is an important lesson for us that John will explain further in our teaching today. With the continuing story of Saul and David in 1 Samuel 18, here now is Pastor John.
Could I ask you a question tonight? Have you thrown a spear today? Have I said to my wife, Tammy, "Yeah, but I have a point. This needs to be said." You know. To the extent I do that means that is the extent, the degree that I am on my way down. David had a true anointing. Incredible. This guy, this really happened. I mean, there were spears being thrown at him. And he was not dumb. He ducked. That's always a smart thing to do when spears are thrown at you. But he didn't throw him back. He just didn't do it. He knew that God was his shield, as he would sing. That God was his buckler, his high tower, his defender. Later on in our story, we're going to see that Saul is going into a cave there at En Gedi, chasing David like a partridge. Little did Saul know that in the back of the cave was David and his boys. And Saul went to sleep. And David's men said, "This is it, David. You got him. Lop his head off. God has brought him into this cave, and here's your opportunity to get ahead," literally. "This is your moment. This is it." And David went over to where Saul was sleeping, and he cut the hem off of Saul's garment, off of his skirt. And he would say later on to Saul, "Saul, look, I could have lopped your head off, but I didn't. This is how close I was to you, Saul. Look, I have this piece of your skirt. I have this piece of your robe. Look, Saul, I don't want to kill you. That's not where I'm at." But it says, interestingly enough, that even as he cut the hem of Saul's garment, it says David's heart smote him. And he repented. He said, "I shouldn't have even touched the Lord's anointed." What? The Lord's anointed? David, you're the anointed. This guy is crazy. This guy has lost whatever anointing he once had. This guy is history. David, you're the guy. No. David knew that day, Saul, until God takes him home, God moves him on, he's the anointed instrument in God's hand to prepare me and make me the man that I'm supposed to be. This guy that's after my head, this guy that's chasing me down, this guy that wants to wipe me out, this guy that's out to do me in, this guy that makes my life seemingly miserable, is actually the anointed of God to make me into the man that God wants me to be. What if you looked at your boss that way? The boss that maybe is driving you crazy? Or your husband that you don't like, perhaps? Or that parent that just seems to bug you? Or whoever it might be, where you go, man, all they do is throw spears at me. They're out to wipe me out and trip me up and take me down. I'm sick of him. I'm sick of her. I'm sick of them. And if I get the chance, I'm going to lop off their head. What if God would say to you tonight, they're the anointed instrument in my hand, son or daughter, to make you the man or the woman that I want you to be. And when the timing is right, I will remove the situation. But I know when that day is to be. I know when the timing is right. What if we really truly looked at people, difficult people, problem people, challenging situations as being just that? It's the anointed instrument of God. Even though spears are being hurled at me, or these guys are chasing me like a partridge, you see, I am going to believe that, God, you are using this to make me the man that you want me to be, and I will not throw spears back. I don't care what he, she, they do or say. I won't throw spears back. And Lord, if I have touched the garment, forgive me. I'm wrong in that. It's me who's wrong. You're in control. You can move him, her, them. You can take care of that whenever you choose to. And if I have nicked their reputation or thrown a spear in their direction, I'm in error, Lord. I am the one that's wrong. Forgive me, Lord. Honestly, what's in your hand tonight? What's in my hand? What's in our hand? A weapon? An instrument of war or an instrument of worship? Saying, Lord, I trust you. You're on the throne. You're in control. And I will not throw a spear at anyone. David did not retaliate. David avoided it. But he came back, and Saul, verse 12, was afraid of David. Saul knew, oh, how do I deal with a guy like this? The Lord is with him, and the Lord's departed from me, verse 12, Saul would say. So Saul took David and removed him from the court and made him his captain over 1,000 soldiers. Why? To go out and die in battle. I'm going to send this kid out to war. Maybe he'll get taken out by the enemy. But David went out and came in before the people. He would go out and he would come back. Oh no, Saul would say, he's back. Another victory to his credit. Whew. He behaved himself wisely in all of his ways. And the Lord was with David. Wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was all the more afraid of David. He knew, oh man, David is doing things right. All of Israel and Judah loved David because he went out and came in before them. He was with them. He was among them. He was leading them in battle, and they loved him. Saul said to David, verse 17, behold, my daughter, Merab, I will give her to you for a wife. Only be valiant for me and fight the Lord's battles. For Saul said, let not my hand be upon him, but let the hand of the Philistines be upon him. Take my daughter. Now remember what Saul had implied in chapter 17 in the day when David was going out to do battle with Goliath. What was one of the rewards given to the victor? The daughter. So Saul has an obligation here to do this. Take my daughter. He already made a promise. Whoever beats the giant will be enriched by me. His family will be set free, and he will become part of my family. I'll give him my daughter. So now Saul says, take my daughter. But wait a minute, you got to do something else. Go out and take on the Philistines. Well, David said, verse 18, who am I? What is my life or my father's family in Israel that I should be son-in-law to the king? I'm not worthy of this king, he said. Wow, I'm not worthy of being your son-in-law. But it came to pass at the time when Merab, Saul's daughter, should have been given to David, that Saul gave her unto Adriel to be his wife. So Saul here takes her back and says, nah, just kidding, and gave her to somebody else, you see. Crazy. So Michal, though, verse 20, Saul's other daughter loved David. And they told Saul, and the thing pleased Saul. Saul said, I will give him her. Now you say, well, what's going on here? Michal's a handful. Michal's a problem. Oh, Saul says, great. Evidently, his first daughter, Merab, was evidently a nice girl or something. But, this is great. So Michal likes David. That'll get him. So he said, okay, I'll give Michal to David. I will give him her, that she may be a snare to him, and that the hand of the Philistines may be against him. Wherefore Saul said to David, thou shalt this day be my son-in-law. You go ahead and take my daughter. And Saul commanded his servant, saying, tell David secretly, behold, the king hath delight in thee, and all his servants love thee. Now therefore be the king's son-in-law. Saul's servant spoke these words in the ears of David, and David said, seemeth it to you but a light thing to be the king's son-in-law? I'm a poor man, lightly esteemed. Who am I? I'm just a shepherd boy. Well, the servants of Saul went on, verse 24, and said, well, here's what you need to do. Saul said, thus shall you say to David, the king desires not a dowry, but 100 foreskins of the Philistines. You'll really make your future father-in-law happy. Go get 100 foreskins from the Philistines. Now, the Philistines, you see, made fun of the people of Israel because they were circumcised. It was a constant tension between the men of Philistia, the Philistine culture, and the Israelite culture. So here, Saul says, hey, David wants to please me, eh? Okay, tell him this. Go get 100 men. Obviously, it would mean not just conversion to Judaism. We're talking about the destruction of their lives in this case. It would be destroying the enemy. So when this word came to David, Saul thought, verse 25, that David would fall trying to take on 100 guys. When the servants told David, it pleased David well to be the king's son-in-law. David thought, great. And David arose and went, he and his men, and slew of the Philistines 200 men. I mean, 200 guys David and his boys take on. And they bring back they brought back evidence of that to the king. And Saul then had no other choice but to give Michal his daughter to be David's wife. He thought David would die in this attempt, but David came through. In fact, twice as many of the enemy were done in by David. And Saul saw, verse 28, and knew that the Lord was with David, and that Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him. Oh man, God's with him, and even my wild daughter loves him. Saul was yet the more afraid of David, and Saul became David's enemy continually. Then the princes of the Philistines went forth, and it came to pass, after they went forth, David behaved himself even more wisely than all the other servants of Saul. His name became, as your margin says, precious. Interesting. David became precious. His name was precious. He was exalted. Saul going down, David going up. Saul jealous. Jonathan could have been, but you see, here's what I want to close with this evening. Very practical word for you, for me. Saul was jealous. The Hebrew word for jealous means to make the face turn red. Saul was turning beet red when he saw David walk by. God makes me so mad. You know, that whole thing. Jealousy. It would literally drive Saul crazy. Jealous of what David was accomplishing, of what David was doing, of the response that David was receiving. Just jealous. Jonathan had an even greater right, if you would, to be jealous of David. Because they're in the same generation. They're the same age, approximately. But Jonathan is free from jealousy because of one simple thing. He says, I am going to help David accomplish his goal. I realize that God's hand is on this man. And even though it might mean that I don't ascend to the throne like I was planning previously, like I thought I would be doing ultimately, I see that God's hand is on this man. And I'm going to help him. I'm going to give him my robe and my sword and my bow. I'm going to help him. In helping David, Jonathan is free from jealousy, goes down in history as a great man, is rewarded eternally. Jonathan goes up. See, here's the thing. I promise you this. There's going to be a situation in your life that's similar to this in one way or another. And you'll have a choice to be threatened by him or threatened by her or threatened by them, and you'll say, I've got to deal with this. I'm going to throw spears at them when I talk to my friend or my husband or whatever it might be. Boom, boom, boom. Or you'll say, no, because that will destroy me in the process. I'll be assaulted. It'll take a toll on me. It'll take me down a road that I don't want to go. Why do I feel so jealous? Why am I so uptight? And why do I, what's going on? What can I do? Here's what you can do. You can say, I'm going to help that person excel. Man, she looks so pretty, but boy, she would look even better if she had the scarf that I have. I'm going to give it to her. Boy, if he knew how to do this at work, there's something he doesn't understand. If I gave him that information, it would empower him to do better. I'm going to do that. I am going to see if I can help that person that I would normally in my flesh be in competition with, jealous of, upset at. I'm going to do whatever I can to help her or him excel and succeed. Know what will happen? You'll go up. I'll go up. We'll go up. If you help somebody else go higher, inevitably you move up the ladder. If you try to keep somebody else down, well, I'm not going to let them have that knowledge because it might jeopardize my job. Or I'm not going to let her know that or him have that or whatever it might be because it might make me look not as good. No. If you bring somebody else up, you go up in the process. If you try to keep somebody down, like Saul, you just are in a spiral that gets more and more and more demonized and depressing and debased, you see. I believe the word of the Lord tonight is for some women that are here. Who have been fighting jealousy. Help the people that you're jealous of. Pray for them. Give to them. Encourage them. Do nice things. Don't let your claws come out. You know, don't do that. Retract. Retract and say, how can I help her even do better? I believe there are men here who are turf fighters professionally. Open it up. help others to excel. What will happen is, to the degree that you do that, you will go higher. I promise you. Guarantee. Choice is up to you, up to me, to be a Jonathan or to be a Saul. On a very practical level. On a spiritual level, for me to say tonight, the real issue is I need to get off the throne and, Lord, have you rule my life. So I strip myself and I cut covenant with you again. And Lord, I want you to be the king of my heart. I want you to rule, really rule my life. And I cut covenant with you even tonight. And may some of you who need to do that take advantage of the opportunity. Bow the knee. Come to the table and say, Lord, I'm tired of me. I want you to be the monarch, the master of my life completely. He will. Who are you tonight jealous of? Who do you look on with eyes of competition? Would you purpose in your heart tonight to help that person excel? Would you let go of the spear and pick up the harp? You'll do so much better. Are you on the way down? Tonight, the Lord would have you turn it around. And just say, you know, I threw spears today, Lord. I'm striving in my flesh. I'm touching the anointed. The ones, the people, the person that you have allowed to be in my life to make me the man, the woman that you want me to be. Lord, I repent of that tonight. And as you go your way, may you just live life in a whole different dimension, free from fighting back and free from defending yourself and free from firing at others. And just say, Lord, do what you want to in me and be enthroned upon my throne. Take control of my life to a greater degree. And God will bless you. He'll meet you. May you go in peace. May you seek to serve more than be served. May you seek to love more than be loved. May you seek to give more than to gain. May you seek to be a Jonathan, not only to our King, the Son of David, but to his friends that are all around you. I went to church to seek a friend, and I found none there. I went to church to be a friend, and I found them everywhere. Do you come here to say, well, who's going to talk to me? Who's going to be there for me? Or do you come and say, who can I be a Jonathan to?
There are so many people that need a Jonathan, people that need help on their way up, practically and spiritually. If we choose to help people on their way up, we will go up as well. It's a good deal. This teaching is also available on the Searchlight website at johncorson.com. You will also find on the website Pastor John's books and other Bible study resources. Again, the address of the website is johncorson.com.
In addition to hearing good Bible teachings, it is also helpful to read of God's love, grace, mercy, and truth. For this reason, we have made available the John Corson Application Commentary Set. There are three volumes of these written commentaries, two covering the Old Testament and one covering the New Testament. The commentaries are based on John's teachings, so they contain the same insightful and practical Bible studies you hear on the Searchlight radio program. If you would like to order any or all of these commentaries, you can do so through the Searchlight website at johncorson.com.
Searchlight is a listener-supported ministry. We appreciate your prayers and support. May the Lord richly bless you.